Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by Jeremy Ellens. He's a fellow podcast host, hosts The Journey to Seven Figures, which is incredible. Highly recommend checking that out. We've had a couple of similar guests, but I would say most importantly, founder of Lead Quizzes. Jeremy, welcome to the show, man.
Colin, thanks for having me.
Cool, man. So we're going to talk about your journey from sort of zero in recurring revenue to 720,000 in annual recurring revenue. I'm really excited. We don't bring entrepreneurs on the show too often, but I think you've got such a real tactical sales approach that I wanted to get you on and tell your story. So welcome to the show, man.
Awesome. Yeah, let's jump into it.
Cool, man. So tell me about your journey. Where did you get your start with Lead Quizzes?
So Lead Quizzes, essentially we started out of kind of like a failing agency. Like we grew at agency, like marketing agagency up to maybe, $500,000 a year or something. And we got to the point where we're just doing custom work for everybody. We're working with small businesses. So probably not the best market for that approach. And honestly, we just weren't good at just one thing. And so like what that resulted in is we didn't really have repeatable results. We were very reliant on a couple major clients, and it got to the point where we lost like three big clients, which was worth about 35% of our monthly revenue. So, you know, that whole thing about having a couple major clients that you're dependent on, like the worst thing that could have happened to us. We had two clients threatening to sue us at one point. My business partner and I just kind of looked at each other and we're like, this isn't working. We need to figure out something else. And so what we did do is we looked back at, which of our previous clients did we actually have pretty good success with? And how could we start to replicate that? So we looked at a lot of different stuff. One of them we landed on, we worked with this hormone doctor named Dr. Tammy. And what she came to us for was she had this book coming out in probably 6 months or about a year and really wanted to hit bestseller list with it. She felt like this was like her big opportunity. It was like a good market, a good timing for her book, The Hormone Secret. And so we had some previous book experience. We worked with a guy named Peter Diamandis on a book launch of Abundance and helped him sell tens of thousands of copies. But what we really like, the big trick to put, like selling a book and hitting national bestsellers, like you got to sell a lot of books in a very short like window to be able to show like the book sales. And so what we wanted to do with her is like, we didn't want to be extremely dependent on affiliates, which can go one way or the other. She had like a list of maybe like a couple hundred people, just some of her local patients in Seattle. And so, what we did was we took a quiz. We said like, let's try and advertise this on Facebook and see how it does. And really just build your email list up. That way you can nurture it over the course of 6 months. And when you do launch, you have a big list to promote to. And so that's what we did. We did the quiz. We got it up on Facebook. We started getting leads extremely cheap just because the quiz was so engaging. And over the course of 6 months, we've generated 35,000 leads for her at just 19 cents a lead. And so we thought like, hey, if we can make this repeatable and we can start doing this with more clients and like, let's do that. And so we did, we started going out with referrals and we started some different lead generation topics. I'm sure we'll talk about today of how we got our clients. But ultimately we did get repeatable results. And out of that, we kind of like made an agency model of, helping people grow their list with quizzes. And then we developed a software that we launched, which turned into Lead Quizzes.
Very cool, man. And so I love how when you were trying to figure out, okay, what direction do we go? You sort of looked at all your customers and said, which ones have been most successful? And then let's sort of double down on that. I find it so easy for companies to just, we don't want to focus because we don't want to say no to all this potential business. But when you're not saying no to certain types of business, you're not saying yes and doubling down on being amazing at that one thing.
So yeah, that was huge. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that as this goes on, but like we found that was like so important as far as being able to get repeatable results. If there are any agencies that are listening to this show, it's very hard to do custom results. It's very hard to train your team to get like specific results. And like, even what we found is we kind of narrowed down to an industry, which was like the health industry. And we're doing this very specific service of building a list with email or with quizzes and running ads. But even like further, like if I would have gone back and changed things, because ultimately we decided to shut down our agency just to focus on the software full time, similar to what a lot of other software companies do. But I would have gone even deeper and just said, like, we're just working on one profession in the one specific industry. So for example, like naturopathic doctors, because then you can figure out, you know, what's the sales script that they need? Like, what's the follow-up process they need? What's the perfect offer? What's the lifetime value of their customer? And you can charge more. And I think ultimately, like, that helped us a lot, like that narrowed focus. Like, it's really scary at first. And I think to an extent, you do, if you are starting out, like, you need to take the shotgun approach and just kind of see what you're best at. But then as quickly as you can narrow, I think it helps out a lot.
Right on, man. And so we're going to kind of skip the journey of like, oh, how did you build the software and all that? Now you've like, let's fast forward to you've got the software ready. How did you get it into market?
Yeah. So we actually, are you talking about like initially, or are you talking about like once the software is like kind of out and doing well?
Once the software was say like sellable to people outside your sort of, you know, first 10 customers.
Yeah. So what we did was, we had like a little bit of an email list. So we went out to our email list, we went out to referrals. But the big thing we really focused on was, we had this agency model that basically it had very high like lifetime value. And that gave us the money to be able to fund the building of our software and putting money into it. So we spent a lot of money on ads, depends on what you're used to spending, but we spent up to 10 grand a month on Facebook ads, driving people in through like our case studies, and basically like introducing them to our software. And so like that was one of the bigger things. And then we started focusing a lot on our SEO as well, because that was like, without even a lot of focus, it had much better conversions for us and a lower cost of acquisition. So those were two of the, like the biggest areas that we focused on. And I can go deeper if you want to go deeper on any of those.
Yeah. I want to get into the, like sort of how you made it happen once it really got sort of up and rolling. Right. So the software's sellable, you've got, kind of, I guess the software is now in market, and you've said goodbye to the agency model. What did your initial sales team look like then?
So initially we developed some offers. So like we had an overlap of the agency and the software for a while. So initially what our sales team looked like, it started out with me. I didn't know how to sell, so I had to teach myself how to sell. But we developed some different packages. So we developed like this basically $1,000 a month advertising service for the agency. And then we quickly realized like we needed to try and get our ticket value up. And we're dealing with smaller businesses. So we were charging, we charge like a $2,500 up front, or we try and push people into annual services. Ultimately we moved away from the sales model once we dropped the agency, because like we didn't feel like the ticket value was high enough for like the paying the commissions and the acquisition costs. But that's what worked well when we were running it, was if we couldn't sell them on the agency stuff, we'd sell them on an agency package, and we'd like basically we would sell like an annual subscription, and then we'd add on some amount of services to it so we could bundle it and make it more expensive.
Gotcha. And so you focused on sort of developing that interesting angle. We talked about how in the early days you would base that angle on, say, a case study. You've got a case study in this industry. Now we're going to build the scripting, build everything around that. Can you tell me a little bit more about that side of things?
Yeah. So essentially like how we went to go out and get clients, and this was for like our agency and our services, was really, we leveraged this case study model. So I know you do a lot of like, you'll do some like cold calls at the end, and maybe we'll get into that, but we didn't do cold calls. Like my thing was like, I'm going to get people teed up on a call. I'm going to get them interested. They're going to schedule a call with me, and then I'm going to just take calls. And so, yeah. So initially what we did was we kind of like went out with this case study model of saying, well, first of all, like our audience was people in the health space. A lot of these people in the health space, they sell online. They knew like building their email list was something really important. They didn't necessarily have like a sales model behind it themselves, but they knew building their email list was important. They can promote products to it. So we went out with this case study of just saying like, we're going to help you build an email list of 100,000 people a year. We're doing it with some other people already. Essentially how that works is we advertise your quiz on Facebook. Being your quizzes are so much more engaging, your cost is going to be lower, which means it's going to take less for you to like basically recover that advertising cost, and we're just going to reinvest the money back. And so we've had people that have been able to do that, build 100,000 people's lists. So we came out with this kind of like this big promise and something that'd be exciting and get them hooked. And then essentially said, we're building some case studies right now. Normally we would charge say $3,500 for a setup. We'll do our setup for free, and then we'll just charge you like $1,000 a month to manage this and run this ad campaign. And so it was like cutting our costs quite a bit. But being we simplified and we were able to make this kind of a cookie cutter approach of how to get consistent results for people, we were able to do it at a cheaper rate. Right. So, yeah, so we used this case study, and then we used a bunch of different like lead gen tactics to just get more people interested and get this offer in front of more people.
Right on. So tell me about those lead gen tactics. What really drove it for you?
Yeah. So what we started out with, was we created this angle. We published this on our blog. So we had some blog traffic, and then we mailed that blog post to our list, essentially pitching that how to build your email list to 100,000 people in a year, which is something that would be a huge game changer for most people we're talking to. So we published that, we mailed it to our list. A lot of people, so essentially what we did when we mailed it to our list, we said, you know, we're going to do this. It doesn't require you to have a widely known brand, a ton of website visitors, doesn't require you to pull a bunch of favors. And then we said, you know, help us find the people that we're going to do this with and create a case study, and we'll share it with our email list over the year and show you how we do it. And so we said, we're looking for someone specifically in this industry with this type of business. Can you just let me know, like, if you know someone? And a lot of people, like, the funny thing when you take the case study approach and the referral approach of, do you know anyone? A lot of people will self-select into it themselves. So we closed a lot of business on that route. But you can only hit your email list with that so many times. And then, so we went into referrals next. And I can get into that strategy some more. We did referrals. We did cold outreach, which worked really, really well for us. And then eventually we moved more inbound, where we did Facebook ads and focused on SEO to generate those leads.
You did something really interesting there in that, like, in getting those first few that I just wanted to highlight is you're reaching out and saying, hey, we're just looking for somebody to do a case study with us in this industry. You weren't saying, hey, we want to charge you some stuff. We want to sell you some stuff. And it wasn't quite as soft as, hey, I want to interview you and, you know, write a blog post. It was, hey, we're looking for a case study. So there's an implied, there's going to be an economic transaction here. Mm-hmm. But I think because you're asking for the case study and not money, it's a lot softer of an approach. Did you find that helped with conversions?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. Like, it was really good. Even like I'll talk about like the kind of the warm outreach first, but even with cold outreach, it was extremely effective. And so like, I'll give you an example. For our referral, we went out and we said, you know, we're looking for someone to build like an email list to 100,000 a year as a case study. And then we explained, like, we're looking for someone that has a product kind of like in this range, this price range that they can sell after their quiz. They should be able to spend $1,000 a month on Facebook ads and $1,000 a month with us just to cover our cost of managing the ads. We explained like what our normal costs would be, which would be more expensive than that. And then we kind of explain like the process, like they go from an ad to a quiz, they'd opt in, and then they get this like sales offer. And then we just say, you know, you'd reinvest the money and we'll grow it over the course of the year. And so that was really good. It kind of explained it and we were pretty quick with it. And then we added urgency and scarcity, saying, you know, I'm only looking for like five people. We should have this filled by Friday. Do you know anyone that would be a good fit? And so one example, I sent this out to one of our like existing clients. He sent it to nine people. They were all like CC'd on the same email. So they all knew there was like scarcity and they all knew that they like this offer was out there. And I ended up closing, over $90,000 in revenue from that single email and like the referrals that we got from it. So that was extremely effective to just kind of take that angle with referrals first. And then, next we started jumping into like kind of cold or like very, maybe not cold, but not super warm, like outreach next.
So tell me about that journey. What's your definition of cold, but maybe not cold, but kind of super warm?
Yeah. So the kind of the next step, like we went from warmest to coldest. We went from our email list to then like referrals through our clients to like even just referrals from people that maybe I met once at a conference. So we just started, you know, like classic, just hammering anybody that I knew, like who would be a good fit for this. And I think being as a case study and you say, do you know anyone that would be a good fit for this, is definitely a lot less threatening than saying like, hey, Colin, would you be interested in signing up for this? Because then your guards go up. But if it's a case study, you're kind of receptive. You're not being directly like solicited. And then it's also easier to start that conversation and like, potentially close the person you message as well.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we did the same thing. So like, let's say a kind of like warm, but kind of cold, like outreach is, let's say it's someone I met at a conference like a year ago. And you know, I added them on Facebook. And so I'd shoot them a message on Facebook saying, I don't know if you saw, we're doing this challenge to grow an email list by 100,000 people in a year. Here's some of the criteria we're looking for in the person we select. Do you know anyone that would be a good fit? And then, so we had like just tons of people saying like, yeah, that's like, I'll read actual scripts. People said, that sounds pretty interesting. The first thing that came to mind was that I wanted to do it. Do you think that would be suitable with my brand? Here's some people, you know, what about this person? He's really big in personal development, just did $11 million in his launch. And so we just keep getting people like, yes, like I'm interested or I know someone. And so we got a lot of referrals and we just explained that process to them and then give them like a Calendly link to book a call with us.
That's too easy, man.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. And like, I remember first when I was doing this, I was like, I mean, it's probably a process a lot of salespeople go through. Like if you don't have an auto dialer, you're sitting there like sometimes and you're thinking, should I call this person? Like, what are they going to think? And so like, I started with the most warm people and then I'm like, should I message this person? Like, I don't even know him. And I was finally just like, screw it. Like, I'm just going to message everybody. And like a lot of these people, like, you know, literally someone I met once at a conference referred this person that did $11 million in sales and was an extremely qualified lead for us. Like,
beautiful.
I think one of the things that worked well with the case study and asking for the referral is people like looking good. I make them look like the hero because they're bringing an incredible offer to someone that would be a qualified and right fit for it.
Mm-hmm. It's something that they would probably spend full price on anyway, but they're getting in because you're early. They're that sort of like innovator on the technology adoption lifecycle curve where they've already bought your product and now they just want to refer it. And that's how they get there. You know, they
exactly.
get status.
And then I think the fact we talked about like kind of niching down and saying what you want specifically. And I think this could even be the case if like, you know, let's say you're a tech company, you have different segments of your audience, but being very specific and saying, I'm looking for this very specific segment of our audience for this case study. That's what made it so like easy for them to refer people, because instead of just saying like, do you know what, you have a referral for this, you're saying, do you know someone like for us, like in the health space, that's a naturopathic doctor. Like it's very easy to think of, do you know those connections or not? Can you make those like connections for me?
Yeah. So you started really specific in just going after naturopaths.
No, so we didn't. So we like, originally, like we said, the health or personal development space, $50 to $100 product. And then we already kind of had some health clients, so it made it a little bit easier for us like to understand where we were going. But as we kind of got into this, we realized who really did well, like doctors for us, they have a high ticket product that they're selling. So like they can cover the ad costs in one single client and, you know, the return is a lot easier to recover. So we started to figure out shortly after, like who was really the best people to go after.
Gotcha. And so this is a single email that was just, hey, this is what we're looking for. Do you know anybody that'd be a good fit?
Yeah. So it was an email like that. And then we also did Facebook Messenger. They kind of clamped down on that a little bit outside of people that you know, which we can talk about a little bit in a cold outreach. But yeah, we did a Facebook Messenger to people that we knew, or even like text message. Text worked just as well. If you have like any kind of relationship with these people, yeah, those things helped. I'm sure you could do the exact same thing on LinkedIn, anywhere you already have a connection and it's easy to get a message to someone.
Right on. I'm sure people that are listening are familiar with all the different channels that are relevant to their companies. So why don't we go into like the scripting, the messaging was really interesting. I like how you would, like when you would describe this to me, you're somebody who hadn't spent much time in sales and now you're forced into the sales role, and not only forced into the sales role, but now managing and hiring salespeople. How did you do that? How did you manage that piece?
So it was difficult. Like I was at a point in my company, like I hadn't ever really worked for like a sales organization before. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, like, I guess my network was in the marketing space. Like, I don't think many people had sales teams, but, I read in a book somewhere that like, if you want to learn a new subject, just go out and just get 10 books on the topic of people that have basically taken their life's work and put it into 3 hours worth of reading. And you'll probably learn a lot from it and, you know, be able to identify, like, some people have different opinions or different styles and there's a lot of different ways to do things, but you can kind of start to develop, like, how do you want to do sales? And so that's what I did. Even before this call, I listed a bunch of different sales books, but I went out and got a bunch. I got Predictable Revenue. So like your guys' books, I got Jordan Belfort's like Straight Line Selling sales course. That one was extremely helpful at like developing a sales script and changing my mentality on getting to know quickly and then overcoming objections and actually having objections like written out and prepared. And reading The Challenger Sale, reading some of Jack Daly's books. So like a lot of these books started really helping me, you know, develop the sales script and change my mentality on sales. And that, you know, like you're actually looking for no, it's not not to be afraid of rejection, but you're looking for a no, so you can actually start to uncover like what's holding them back.
It's so key. I love that you just, and I'll put a list in the show notes, so we don't have to go through every single one of them, but I even bought some of these books, and I found that, because I don't know, I read a ton, I listen to a bunch of books, I listen to a bunch of podcasts. I am listening to Jeremy's podcast. It is great. Second plug for it. But I think one of the things I struggle with the most when I was a new sales rep was, what do I say? Right. I have my way of saying it, but I wanted to learn from others. And I didn't have the luxury of sitting in a bullpen that maybe some of the listeners might have, and being surrounded by 10 other reps that are trying to sell the same thing. I was a little bit alone. And so I had to figure out and develop a lot of stuff on my own. I ended up working for, you know, these large, you know, or not large, but like, you know, $10 million a year kind of companies. And I was the single salesperson. So I had to deal with a lot of this myself. And mm-hmm. the books on, you know, how to handle objections, the Ultimate Book of Phone Scripts. I think Jeb Blount. I never know how to pronounce his last name. I think it's Blout or Blunt, but let's go with just Jeb. He's got a book on objections. You had a couple, there's a couple other books on scripting that I'm drawing a blank on. Was it Jack Daly's books?
I think the biggest two on actually scripting was Jordan Belfort's, and his video course is, I think, a couple grand. So I think he came out with a book. I haven't read it, but I think it's probably like similar, and that'd probably be a good place to start. But that, like, he actually had a script laid out in this training. And so I kind of like mirrored that and then adjusted it. And then another really good one that you mentioned was this, I believe it's the Ultimate Book of Phone Scripts. And yeah, you can get that linked up in the show notes and correct what it is. But that one was really helpful. I mean, there's just like so many like scripts in there of like objections, and a lot of them I felt were kind of like cheesy or they didn't work, but there were some good ones of really understanding language. And I think I kind of came from like a little bit of like, I had some experience writing copy, and I think that's helpful too, because I think even in the scripts we were sending to get people lined up on calls, or just being very like, very careful with how you word like your sales, it makes a huge difference. And so I definitely did pay a lot of attention to the words that I used and how I said things. And I think I maybe had more responsibility than even like some other salespeople out there, because I'm like the owner of the business. So I know if I'm going to oversell something or overpromise, like that's going to come back on me. It's not going to just get washed away in the organization. So I was very careful, like with how I would word things to not overpromise or oversell or, that kind of thing.
Right on. I just found the second book, and it was by the same author, Mike Brooks. It was Power Phone Scripts, 500 word for word questions, phrases, and conversations to open and close more sales.
Yeah. Those are super helpful. Even if you don't use them, I think the practice of going through them and like developing your own scripts and just getting different ideas is very, very helpful.
I bought multiple copies of all the books you referenced, and I always have a big stack of books on my desk. And these are the ones that disappeared the quickest. Our rep team came by and they're like, oh, what's that one? Oh yeah. I was telling one of our reps that I was reading the Power Phone Scripts one. And I didn't read it like start to finish. I just sort of opened up. I was like, okay, well, like, let's see the quality of this book. And all of a sudden all copies were gone. And then all the other Mike Brooks books were gone. So appreciate the recommendations. If anybody's struggling with scripting or is trying to build it themselves and just want to see what other people are doing, super helpful way. I love the, if you want to do something new, read 10 books on the subject. I think that's great. So can you, in the interest of getting tactical, can you walk me through your pitch? Like, how did you, you read all these books?
Yep.
And you came up with this pitch. Do you talk, what? Yeah. Talk me through that. How did that go? What did that look like?
Yeah. I'll try to go over the highlights and we can dig into it. So the first thing was the intro, just connecting, like these were people that scheduled calls with me. Also when we switched to like an inbound as well, we were running Facebook ads and SEO, and we're getting the leads, but they're not necessarily scheduling. We're doing some kind of intro to basically bridge a gap between like, hey, I noticed you just, you know, opted in for this webinar. Like, did you get the chance to watch it yet? And then you'd be like, no problem. Like, well, I'd be happy to like talk to you about like how you can implement this in your business. So like kind of wordsmith that a little bit, but there is some kind of intro to basically take them from, you know, a lead to, all right, we're going to get on a sales discussion with them. So that was the first section. The second section for us was really like the sales questions. And the things that we focused on was like, what's basically like, I guess like the powder that we can like build up. Jordan Belfort talks about like keeping like your powder dry and not using it all up front. But he basically like, you know, what are the things that I can use to say like, all right, well, you told me you know, your lead costs are this much, or you're converting this well, or what are your goals and like, what are your challenges? And so like kind of basically building those up and being able to have those ready for like our objection handling in our presentation. So we go through some of those questions. The next thing was the presentation. And what I learned from Jordan Belfort was keep the presentation very, very short. So this, we always kept this to like 2 or 3 minutes. And we basically just went through this story. Like, you know, we helped this person named Dr. Tammy. We helped her like reach these goals of a bigger impact on women. She generates more sales, became a national bestseller. And we tried to kind of tailor this to the person that was on the call with us. Mm-hmm. And then explain the process. We used this quiz. We advertised it. Here were the results that she got. Pretty awesome, right? And we do these kind of check-ins to keep them engaged. Pretty awesome. Does that make sense? And then we say, awesome, well, we're doing this case study to help, you know, 3 more people grow their list by 100,000 people in a year. Yeah, like, is that something that you'd be interested in? And then we go into like pricing. So like, this is the pricing, this is how it would work. And then, you know, like, would you like to be one of our 3 case studies? And then, so we just shut up, wait for them to respond. And then sometimes you get the layups and they'd say yes, but more than likely you go into objection handling next.
Gotcha. And just before we jump into objection handling, we talked about, hey, these case studies, we're only going to do 3 of them. Talk to me about the numbers that you actually did. Because I imagine there's got to be that sort of scarcity, but you got to sort of balance it with, you know, we want to sell more than just 3 of these. Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a moving scale. Like legitimately at first, like if you're launching something new, like you don't know how much you can handle, like you got to kind of pull back the reins a little bit.
Yeah.
So we would kind of do this where it'd be like, we're taking like these amount on and we'd take them on. And then like, we'd say, okay, we can handle more. So we're only going to take this amount more on and kind of just continue doing that. So we eventually with our agency, we closed 189 people, on that like $1,000 a month, kind of program.
Nice. That's pretty strong, man. Okay. And so basically you're working it out capacity is sort of like week to week. Hey, I've only got 2 more left this week, or we're only going to do three more of these, you know, for this round. And then it's sort of like that, the false time deadline. I don't know if anybody's seen those courses where you can only buy it between, you know, a certain period of time. And it's then once it's closed, it's closed. And you know, the people behind the courses are doing these big launches and, you know, pounding their list, and you've got a 2-week window to buy the course, and it gets more expensive near the end or something.
Yeah.
So
I think the script is like important, but I think really the most important thing is just like the setup of like, what's the angle that's really going to get them interested. You know, and like what's kind of like the hook and the special offer that they're going to have. Like for us, it was like, we're going to do your setup for free and it's going to be $1,000 a month. So it sounds like a really good deal, which it was. And like, then the sales script is kind of less important if you just come out with a really good offer and have a really good hook to get them interested.
And this initial offer, this is profitable for you, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we tweaked it a little bit. So like with the setup, like we charged that, we did a free setup. We kind of switched to see like, okay, we're going to charge for a setup now. And experimented with pricing, but yeah, it worked out really well. Like, 'cause the biggest thing for us was we were like cookie cutter down to like, you know, we have a Basecamp template. When someone comes on, it's the same template for every single person. We have them fill out stuff before their call. Like we turn around, like they're set up in a couple of days, and then we start their ads right away. Like it became like really quick because we did it so many times.
And how many case studies did you get out of it?
I don't know. We probably have 40 case studies on our website right now. Like a lot of those came from like this whole process. And another thing that we found too, is like whenever you go out to someone with an offer that sounds kind of too good to be true, is you have to have some kind of rationale of why you're doing that. And so for us, like the case studies, or we're looking for more testimonials, that was kind of like the explanation of why we're doing some kind of offer. And it makes it seem realistic, and it doesn't throw like that scam kind of like filter up that people have when you come to them.
Hmm. So it's not a, hey, we want to do this for free, it's such a great offer, it's unbelievable. It's, hey, we're going to do all this work, but we're doing it because we want this case study. That's the
yeah, here's why. Yeah.
So walk me through some of the objections you guys would hear.
Yeah. So a lot of them would be like, you know, clarifying questions at first. So like, oh, can you re-explain the pricing and stuff? But beyond that, like we had price objections. So the expense, and a lot of times we'd loop back into like, we ask them questions about their conversions, and we'd say, you know, if it was a doctor, like, okay, you have to close one client. I know a client is worth $1,200 a year to you. You know, you have to close one single client a month. What we're doing with this quiz is we're actually helping increase like the leads that you capture. A lot of times they're driving them straight to schedule like a call or a consultation. We would take them through a quiz where we'd capture like 1,000 leads for them. And then maybe 10 or 20 of those would schedule a call. And you just kind of explain the math, and it was easy to explain. Another one was bad timing or not priorities. So that's like just kind of like important for you to drive that their urgency for them. So one of them could just be the straight urgency if we only have a couple more of these spots available. You drive back around like what their goal was and like why this would be important to do right away. And then we also use the testimonials of like, we've had some people that have said, you know, they kicked the tire for 3-4 months. And then when they finally did it, they wish they would have done it a lot sooner. So those are some of the responses. Some people would say, I want to do this myself. And we just kind of walk through like the explanation of, you know, we've been doing this with hundreds of clients. Like, you can do this, but we've already invested millions of dollars in ad spend that we're going to take those learnings and use it on your clients. We can expect like these kind of results with your lead costs and these kind of results with your conversions. And so that we kind of explained that that way for them. And then, will this work for me? We went through kind of the feel, felt, found model of, you know, I understand how you feel. That's exactly how my client X felt doing this. And what they found was, and then you insert like the case study, and then you just circle back on a close. So like Jordan Belfort taught a lot, like you go through an objection and you say, what do you say? Do you want to give that a shot? And so we just came up with like a lot of different kind of closing lines like that, you know, like, does that sound fair? Like, awesome. Okay. So like, and then you could go into a bunch of different closes. It's really easy. We just start with some basic information, like scheduling your kickoff call, what date would work best for you, Monday or Wednesday. You know, so you could do stuff like that. We had some delay objections. Like, I need to talk to my partner. Can you send me the contract for review? The contract one was always really funny. A lot of times people use that just as an excuse or a delay. What we found was generally like it was completely an excuse. Like, we took credit cards and ran payments before the contract and just made sure the contract was signed before we started the work. Mm-hmm. And it was really easy, but a lot of people, like, we'd just say like, yeah, I can send you the contract, but essentially it's this. And you just go back through the pricing, you go back through explaining it. And then you go for like one of those closing questions again, and that usually solved it. So a lot of people like I would never take people at face value that they needed to see the contract first. I don't have a credit card on me, but that one's usually like a really bad objection. Like, there's something behind that.
Yeah. Did you forget another wallet today?
And then another thing that worked really well for us, was just bonuses. So like, if we'd go through an objection and then we try to close, and we could add on a bonus of say, all right, well, if you sign up right now, I'm going to include this bonus. And for us, like, you could just develop stuff. Like, if we're helping people generate leads through a quiz, like, what do they need next? They need an email autoresponder series to like engage with these leads. Maybe they need a phone script for their front desk to talk to these people. And so you can kind of just hold this back. Like, this is what Jordan Belfort is saying about like his powder. Is holding it back. Like, another thing could be is like, if we're going to charge $1,000 for a setup, but we don't mind removing the setup, that could be one of the things of like, you come around on the objections. You know, like, maybe they try to delay, be like, well, if you do sign up today, I can remove like your setup cost. So it'd be a free setup cost. You just pay the $1,000 for your first month up front. And so that's a really good thing too, is to just continue to add in, you know, additional bonuses on every single loop.
Right on. And so you just sort of work through that. And this is a $12,000 sale. So we're trying to get a one call close here, ideally.
Yeah. I try to close people on one call. So it was $1,000 a month, and we had some clients that would last up to 3 years. We had some clients that would be, you know, a year. So yeah, we definitely try to close people on that first call. And if not, like, one thing that I learned, it seems stupid now, but like, I didn't schedule the second call. So like, if they do delay and you can't overcome objections, like, all right, well, let's follow up. Like, let's have a call on Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Does that work for you? And get it actually scheduled on the calendar.
Yeah.
And that improved our like no-show rates like dramatically.
Amazing. That's one of my favorite sales habits. And it's something that everybody should be doing if you're not doing it. I talk to our reps, cause I still run in our rep team, and I say still, like, I regret it. I love working with our sales team. The whole rep team is amazing. but I, it's one of the things I talk to them about. It's like, listen, this is not a real op unless you got a next step booked. And I don't mean like you've scheduled it in as a task in Salesforce. I mean, you and the prospect have mutually agreed to show up at this point on Zoom, in person, generally on Zoom, and you're going to talk about this and here's the rough agenda.
Yeah. Some of that stuff sounds so basic, but like I felt so stupid after like seeing the results of just like, it improves it so much. And I had a mentor like tell me to do that, but I guess like if you're in a sales organization, maybe you have more advantage of seeing those kind of tricks in person.
Yeah. Total game changer for sure. If you're not doing it, that one little thing is just unreal.
It's huge.
Huge. So I want to talk about how long it took, but maybe before we end on how long did it take? I want you to tell me about some of the channels, because you had mentioned outbound using Facebook Messenger. What the fuck?
Okay. So we'll go back to this. So this one was interesting. So we basically developed a list of our ideal clients for us. Like we were going after people in the health space, people interested in growing their leads. So we found these things called online summits where basically, you know, one person would interview 20 experts and like they would all promote to their audience and everybody would opt in and they'd get all this amazing content from these people. So for us, we just found like that was, you know, an area of like really good clients for us. So like this, you know, you could develop your list of anything. Like if it's a list of you, if you're trying to have to go after like bloggers or software companies, you just develop your list. So, I did this at first. I developed our list of those people. Being we were already having success doing Facebook Messenger for like my friends and stuff, we've decided, why don't we try to reach out to people on Facebook? They did change their algorithms where like they try to prevent spam more now. And so I don't think you can get those messages as through as well, but you know, you could switch to email or phone call or whatever that is. But yeah, so essentially I did this. And then once it worked, I basically hired someone in the Philippines for $3 an hour and scaled it. And he would find lists of hundreds of people a day. And he would be able to like get them booked. So I would have 2 or 3 days a week where all I would do is sales calls and he would literally have back to back calls the entire day where it would be insane. Like I wouldn't even get lunch in.
No way.
But it's so busy. And like, you just feel exhausted at the end of the day, but you also feel good because you probably closed 2 or 3 sales in a day and you're just killing it. So yeah, it worked really well. So essentially I just hired someone off of Upwork. I made sure that they had good research skills. So I tested them. Like I basically gave them like, here's what you need to do. And I tested like 10 people with it and like just had them do it. And then it just happened. Like the guy that was the cheapest $3 an hour was really good at finding like these Facebook profiles. Cause sometimes it's tricky. Yeah. So we did this and he basically developed these lists and like, I think he ended up getting probably like 3,000 people that we went and contacted. And then we just ran through a script. So we used to like a very simple script and we were very like specific on the language that we use. So we started out with like, hey, their first name and then a smiley face. Cause if you pull up like your phone, like, that's what you see is, hey, you know, hey, Colin, smiley face. Like that's what you would see on the message. You're not going to see anything else. So similar like email, if you email someone, what's the thing that you're going to see in the preview script? So like, we were very, like, we try to make that very personal and friendly. So it would grab their attention. The next thing we said, being this is a cold outreach and they don't know where we're from, we said, hey, I found you through. And then we talk about like some kind of online summit or whatever, like something that doesn't sound like scammy or sketchy or anything, but I found you through this thing. The next sentence would be, we've been working with these different clients and several others to grow their email list by over 100,000 people in a year. So we did try to like tailor that. If we knew there were some people that either they would know about or they had mutual friends in common, we'd put that in there. And then the rest of the sentence, and I was wondering if you'd be interested in joining this challenge with them. So what we found out is we tested this script and then we tested another script where we explained how we did it together, but always just getting the engagement was always much better. So just that script of, I found you through this, we've been working with these clients, we're going to help them grow their list. I was wondering if you'd be interested in joining this challenge with them. And we use specific language like challenge with them because, you know, I think if you went more direct, like salesy, a lot of times, like I think most people assume there's some kind of cost involved, but, you know, their guards aren't up as much. So we sent that out to a lot of people. A lot of people said, you know, I'd be interested. I have these different businesses. Let's see some other examples. Hey, Jeremy. Yes. That would be great to grow like that. Tell me more. We even closed some bigger clients like this. Thanks for reaching out. We always like growing more details. Dave Asprey, this was the guy that started Bulletproof. We signed him up as a customer through this. He's like, could be interesting, email blank to see if it makes sense. And so we just emailed a ton of people. And so usually what we would do next is, because we wanted them qualified for the call, we'd explain how the process works. So we'd say, you know, we've been generating, you know, these leads for like this cost range using quizzes. We've been using the sales funnel to sell like a product that then offsets the cost of the ads. Let's see. Yeah. And then I say, like, we're launching our quiz offer in the next couple of months. I'd love to get some more case studies, which is why we're doing this. Here's a couple of examples. And then we link some case studies that we generated pretty early on. Mm-hmm. Or some of their like quizzes directly. Is that something you'd be interested in talking more about? And then they're like, yeah, I'd love to discuss. And then you just get the calendar link or you suggest dates. And so that was like, that was essentially the script. It was a two message like script and then like give them the calendar. But a lot of times on that first message, like we'd hit them with that first and then be like, yes, I'd love to, let's get on a call. But I always like made sure that they knew more about it. So they're more qualified on the call and they weren't just coming in cold.
Mm-hmm. You had the luxury of you're so busy, you can't have lunch. So you can afford the, you know, a few fewer people showing up to the call as long as they're more qualified.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we wrote a blog post on this entire like process. So maybe you can get that linked up, but like, I even have a screenshot of there of like, we would do the calls in usually 30 or 45 minute segments. I kind of found 45 minute was the best for like the pitch. And like, we would get, you know, 7-8 calls scheduled in a day. And it was pretty back to back. We usually had one or two no shows during the day. With Calendly, we would have email follow-up reminders, just reminding them of the meeting. And now Calendly does SMS reminders. So I would do that now if I was still doing it. But yeah, it was really busy. And usually my lunch came in during one of those no shows.
Perfect. You're always kind of rooting for one.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I know
that not rooting. You just like, it was weird. It's kind of like clockwork. Just like there would consistently be one or two that would cancel. Like, it's kind of amazing to me how sometimes like statistics work and you can start to see patterns.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember in our early days, cause I was our closer up to $1 million and I was our closer and the guy that booked all the meetings. And so I got into like developing some like hyper efficient tactics of like we weren't doing as much outbound. We had just so many referrals coming to us, referrals and inbound. At this time point, we'd merged with Aaron. And so mm-hmm. the book and the momentum he had from writing the book was huge. So people were just coming in. I'm like, okay, here's two times, like, which works better for you. It's like, PS, I'm super slammed. So I'm just going to send you meeting invites for both of them and just accept the one that works for you and mm-hmm. decline the other one. It was like, that was it. I'd pack my days for, you know, 8-9 hours of calls and you hope one shows up somewhere around lunchtime. So that you get a chance to eat. So you're not just dying. One doesn't show up around lunchtime.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That's interesting. I heard you talk about that strategy on a different podcast of yours. That was a pretty interesting strategy.
Yeah. We've used it a couple of times. I do not recommend it for cold outreach. But when you're trying to like reactivate somebody that you've had that conversation with, or
yeah, brilliant.
Say I was trying to chase you down for this and you know, maybe we missed connecting on that like pre-interview, might've tried.
Yeah. That. It's the assumptive sale, except the assumptive call schedule.
Yeah. I want to caution people. We tested it out with outbound. It got we got 100% response rate on it and it was all negative. It's the best response rate we've ever had. Everybody was pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
For inbound stuff, we had like a 40% conversion rate. So.
Yeah. So yeah. So like this strategy worked really well for us. And when I was able to, like when I first started doing this, I was also fulfilling some of the clients. Once I was able to get that off, like then I got much better at selling. And then, but I was doing some of the lists and selling, but when I was able to finally like, and as a founder, I just had other duties like I had to work on. But when I was able to get someone to basically set the appointments for me, so like the SDR kind of model, that's mm-hmm. when I got real efficient. Because like for me, it's so hard to switch from like a sales mindset to like something else and then back to the sales mindset. So really like if anyone's starting or anyone's trying to do this, like making specific days, like I made Tuesday and Thursdays for sales all day and like there's nothing else that I would schedule. And that was really helpful.
That's smart. I came from a sales background, so I was like, I'll sell any day. It doesn't really matter. And I always kind of struggled to do that, to focus on my sort of other work, that CEO, startup founder stuff that I was supposed to be doing.
But yeah, I think even like, it's a good example. Like if you're calendar is not completely booked of like calls, then like it might make sense to just put them on two days or 3 days, and the other days you're just like focused and you're not multitasking, you're not having that task switching that, you know, they talk about in development a lot. That's a huge productivity killer. So sure. I definitely found that.
So talk to me about the time. Like, how long did it take to get to 720K?
So we got to 100,000 a month within 6 months of kind of putting this process in place.
Damn. That's fantastic, man.
Yeah. 720 was specifically from like the agency side using the sales model.
Gotcha. And so it was zero to basically 1.2 in 6 months.
Yep.
Powerful.
Yeah. We had a previous business, so we did have revenue, but like that got phased out. So this was zero to 100 of like basically this lead quizzes services or software.
Yeah. Yep. That's great, man. I do want to get to we got a couple more things, the lightning round, the cold call, role play. Anything we've missed that you think we should mention before we move on?
I mean, like one thing, like we started hiring some salespeople. I mean, one thing I found was that role playing every single day, like consistently, my team would do better. And then when I was like, oh, they're doing great by themselves, and I would stop doing role playing with them or just let them do it themselves, and like sales would get worse. And this was like, like you could take that to the bank. Like that happened every single time without some like kind of sales manager in place. And so that was one thing that really, really helped us was, doing role playing. And another thing that helped our sales team as well was, just having more than one salesperson. So there's competition and they're measuring KPIs, whether it's, number of scheduled calls they have, number of actual connects, like what their close rate was and how much money that they close, and being able to make them compete with that.
I will, I'll double stamp your role play and call review piece. I find the two of those are, I mean, that's where the knowledge transfer happens, right? You figured out how to sell this thing as the founder or as the sales leader, right? Now you've got to teach it to the other people or to the, you know, to your team and your new hires. You know, it's one thing to give them a playbook. It's another thing. And another thing to shadow them on calls, but that's sort of the actual role play of,
Yeah. And one thing, Colin, that actually like I spent a lot of time like working with them on was just like keeping like a really good mental note of like the timing with the script. Like I knew they had to be through the presentation within like 7 minutes if it was a 30-minute call, because if they went over, they have no time for objection handling. And so that was like a big thing that we really had to dial in on, is like they have to get through their questions, their presentations by a certain amount of time. And so we'd go through role play and be like, dude, like you're wasting so much time up front. You haven't even pitched this. Like you're pitching it in the last 5 minutes and you have no time to overcome objections or actually figure out, you know, what is holding them back. So, I mean, beyond getting the script down, like timing was so critical.
Beautiful. Jeremy, this has been phenomenal. I want to take it to the lightning round here. We had a couple of quick questions. We're going to try and get them answered in the next minute or two here.
Okay. So
first one, how do you get people to reply to your emails?
Usually it was spent just on developing a really interesting like hook, like we talked about, like this case study angle or something like that. I think if you're just going in straight, like everybody's had the same LinkedIn like message, like, hey, I offer these services at this rate, like, no one replies to that. It's not interesting. It's not beneficial. You got to spend a lot of time thinking about what the angle is versus necessarily like trying to trick them with personalization and like the, you know, in the subject line.
Yeah. And so it's more of a soft, it's a interesting offer. It's a soft close or a soft sort of CTA as opposed to a hard CTA, buy this shit, you know,
book. Yeah. And I think you wrap a lot of things we talked about in. You have some kind of rationalization of why it's such a good offer. Maybe you have some kind of urgency or scarcity built in there, and just knowing like who you're reaching out to that they really care about. And another thing we talked about was social proof, just mentioning a couple of quick names or case studies of people that they would know about. But also, like I mentioned, like also making sure this is very quick. You're not explaining everything. It's just to get their interest and response, saying I'm interested to learn more.
Perfect. How do you handle the brush off when you're on a cold call?
So I didn't do like a lot of cold calls, but how I handled, I guess, brush offs. Do you want me to answer that as if like they're brushing me off in objection?
Yeah. That'd be great.
All right. So how I do that, first of all, Jordan Belfort always like taught you just to expect it. And so like a lot of times it wasn't very like aggressive, like, oh, well, you're wrong. Like, it's just like, okay, well, and then you have a prepared like objection handling to like, to come back from that. So like for me, like the biggest thing was really just having scripts and really thinking through, you know, these are the main objections. I listed out a bunch on this episode, and really thinking like, what are the best ones? And then going out there and practicing them, listening to the call recordings and seeing which ones did well and which ones didn't, and then improving them.
Beautiful. And last one, what did you need to do? What did you do when you needed to push at the end of the quarter or sort of end of the month? You guys are trying to ramp your sales to hit that, like hit some targets.
I don't think I did like an incredible job at this, but one of the things we did do is we told our team we'd take them to Rocky Point, Mexico on a paid trip if we hit, like when we hit 100,000 a month.
Nice.
And somehow we just shook like a lot of money out of the trees. So I think going back in time, I would do a lot more kind of like bonuses and, you know, incentives and prizes and stuff that people could hit.
Right on, man. We did something similar for our team when we hit a big revenue goal last year. We ended up going in January of this year. It was phenomenal. All right.
Yeah.
So moving to the last step here, the cold call role play. You ready for it?
Yep.
Feeling good. All right. I'm going to do ring, ring. You're going to be Jeremy. I will be a buyer. What's my, tell me about myself. Who am I?
I'll sell you as like an agency into our service. So I'll sell say you're a naturopathic doctor. So you're busy, but you care about getting more patients into your practice. That'd be a good start.
Channeling my inner Dr. Levandesky. My mom worked for a naturopath when I was a little kid.
Perfect.
All right, ready? Hey, this is Colin.
Hey, Colin, this is Jeremy from LeeQuiz. How's it going today?
It's good. I'm just walking in to see a patient.
Cool. Hey, well, the reason I'm reaching out today is because we've been working with some naturopathics in your area, helping them increase their patients by 20 to 30 people a month and only costing them about a couple $1,000 a month to do that. Is that something you'd be interested in talking more about?
Sounds interesting. Who is it?
One example would be a guy named Alan Christensen. So we helped him increase his lead capture by 1,800 people a month. So he's getting 1,800 emails interested in a service in hormone health. And then he's converting 20 or 30 of those into consultations, and he's closing half of those people into new patients. So he's making $20,000 to $30,000 in lifetime revenue on only $2,000 in ad spend. Is that something you'd be interested in talking more about?
That's a hard offer to say no to, man. Got it dialed.
Yeah. So I never do like cold calls. Like that's a little bit like, I would probably practice that a lot more, but I think like for me, like the biggest thing is really you have the right audience and you have a great offer and you have a good case study to back it up. And like, that's what I would lean pretty hard on.
Beautiful.
I leaned a lot on like the number side of the business, probably more than like more of like the emotional side of like, what's your goals and like that kind of thing. I think maybe salespeople can sell different ways, but that's one area that I leaned on probably the most.
Right on, man. I really want to thank you for coming on the show. If people are interested in checking and learning more, you've got this massive, should be a book, is actually a blog post on your site. We're going to throw a link to that in the show notes. Do you want to give us a sort of 30 seconds on what that is and where that came from?
Yeah, sure. So basically what that blog post is, it's titled How We Grew a Marketing Agency to $720,000 a Year Selling Quizzes. And it's this whole process. It's 13,000 words. So it's a pretty long read, but we get very descriptive. I like lay out even like our entire sales script. I lay out like, I believe, six different like lead generation tactics, how we did it. I put in screenshots of here's like what we sent in our emails. Here's responses we got. Here's how much money we made from these emails. And then further into like what we did with our services. So that part may not be relevant for the people on the call, but at least the first half, I think, is really, really helpful in like, you know, choosing your niche, developing this really interesting angle, how to get the leads, and then how to close people, at least from our experience of closing, I think 189 people in 2 years.
Beautiful. If anybody's looking to get in touch with you, so I'll throw that link in the show notes. I'll throw your LinkedIn in the show notes. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Yeah, perfect. I'm available on LinkedIn, but otherwise you can find us at leadquizzes.com or our podcast Journey to Seven Figures that you mentioned.
Beautiful. I'll make sure I snag a link to that as well, because it is great. I highly recommend checking it out. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Colin.